It's the Reality TV Happy Hour with Jordan Parhar. Because you can't spell Parhar without R-H-A-P.
What's up, everybody? Welcome to another edition of the Reality TV Happy Hour. My name is Jordan Parhar, and today we are back talking about Big Brother Canada 5 live here on a Wednesday night to recap some of the craziness that is going on in the BB Can Odyssey. And with me today are some special guests. First is a man who is already getting prepared for Backwards Week. It's Alex Kidwell, ladies and gentlemen. Alex, how are you?
Good, Jordan. That's right. I'm the backwards man. See, my hoodie's on backwards. That means I'm ready to go, right?
I guess. You want to put? Could you put your glasses on backwards? Would that work too? I want to see what you look like without glasses.
I was thinking about like turning the chair around and doing like a Bond villain, like "Hello, Jordan." Like I'm backwards now. But yeah, what about here, really quick?
Okay, hold on. So here's Alex Kidwell. For those of you in the audio, oh, here he goes. He's got his glasses on the back of his head. I don't know if you can really see that. I don't know if that translated, but there you go. Go to robinswebsite.com/YT if you really want to see that, if you're listening to the audio archives. I recommend it. Seeing the back of Alex Kidwell's head, it's really a glorious thing. And let's introduce our special guest for tonight. She's been on the Happy Hour before. We had so much fun with her last season. We brought her back for this one from Big Brother Canada, too. Give it up for Allison White, ladies and gentlemen. Allison, how are you?
I'm doing well. Thank you. How are you?
I am great. And we are also joined by Allison's cat. Allison, you want to show us your cat?
Oh, I think he's underneath the bed at the moment.
Okay. So Allison's going cat here this episode. So maybe we'll get some appearances from Mac tonight. We will see. Should be an interesting one. So keep an eye on that. But yeah, let's guys, thank you so much for joining me. I'm so excited to get into this. It's been a while since I've been home. I was in New York last week. So big shout out to Brent Walgamont for filling in for me, hosting the Happy Hour back to back nights. And Melissa Denny coming in, Liana Boris, Puya Zanvikili, John Krause, all you guys. Really appreciate you guys coming on and filling in. Now, just to set things up for you guys. What's that?
The whole crew.
Yes, that's right. And just to set things up for you guys, we are live on robinswebsite.com. So if you are new to this show, welcome. Thanks for jumping aboard. We're going to be talking about some BB Can 5 stuff. We're going to talk about the episode first. And then in the second half of the show, we're going to talk about the spoilers, what's going on in terms of the live feeds. But I guess there really isn't a lot today because we're caught up to the veto ceremony. We're going to be taking your questions as well. So if you want to send some questions into the show that we can read on the air, you can tweet me. I am at Jordan Parhar. Use hashtag RehappyHour, and we will get into those throughout the show. And don't forget as well, we've got the chat room going on robinswebsite.com. Okay, guys, where do we want to start? I guess there's a couple things we should talk about. First, Allison, talk to me. I want to get your take on Netta's HOH week. Now that we've kind of seen how things are playing out here, Cass does not win the power of veto. Netta gets her way. So I want to ask you, as somebody who played with Netta, as somebody who got sent home at the hands of Netta Kalantar, how do you think Netta has done with this HOH this week, Allison?
I'm a little torn because I do agree that she needed to make big moves if she has this safety. So I get the fact that she wants to get rid of Cass, but I do think it was a little, maybe not necessarily selfish, but she was very tunnel visioned. I don't even think she considered anybody else or that anybody else was a big threat to her. And it was Cass or bust. And that scene that you've seen with her and Ika having it out, I remember watching that on feeds actually. Like, I kind of get it. And then Netta leaves the room. I know I'm kind of skipping ahead of here, but like Netta leaves the room and just kind of like storms out, which isn't good either. She's like kind of making a little bit of a fit about it. So I think with the safety and knowing that she's HOH and she gets to make a decision about whatever, she's a little bit more hot-headed than when I played with her, I think. Like, she's a little more power trippy, maybe. She doesn't really have that one person, that John, to kind of bounce things off of and keep her calm. And I do think that she's missing that social safe landing pad that John was. So it's a very different HOH than what I have seen from her.
Right. And I think another thing too with Netta's HOH week, I mean, she's got the experience of playing the game, of course, but I don't think, if I'm remembering correctly, I don't think Netta actually, I mean, she never had an HOH room, right?
No, so
this is the first time that Netta's actually had a full week to be like, okay, I can sit down and think, all right, what am I going to do, rather than having it be a double where she just goes, bam, you're on the block, or an instant eviction, bam, sorry, Allison, see you later.
Yeah.
It's just, you know, she has lots of time. So maybe it's a situation where, you know, Netta just doesn't have the experience of having this prolonged thing. She's used to just having an idea, going with it. And, you know, that tunnel vision is okay in those previous instances because – you know, she doesn't have a lot of time. She's got to make a decision right away. Alex, let me throw this to you. In terms of what you saw from when Netta, with this HOH here with Netta, when she first won the HOH, did she, like Ika said, we saw that whole fight that Allison's referring to, where Ika is in the HOH room with Cindy and Netta, and Ika's like, well, you never asked me who I wanted to go on the block. Did Netta ask anybody, or was this kind of a situation where she was just like, all right, we're going for Cass, and that's it?
I mean, I think she had her mind pretty well made up, but I also think like the conversation didn't go quite the way Ika framed it, because that is a little more like it certainly wasn't like an order that was dictated. I mean, it was definitely a conversation, but it wasn't much of a conversation. So like most things in Big Brother, I think the truth is somewhere in the middle.
Okay. Classic. I think, you know, it's tough. I mean, what do you think about there's this debate of like, okay, is it too soon to be going after someone like Cass? I mean, she is going to get her way unless this whole backwards land twist or whatever the hell we want to call this. We'll get into that in a sec. Somehow saves Cass, but it looks like she's going to get her way, Allison. So what do you think about this debate of, great job by Netta, she's getting rid of a huge threat in the game, somebody who's going after her, or no, this is a bad move by Netta, she shouldn't be in the spotlight right now? Where do you kind of sit on that fence?
You know what? I like that she went for it right away. She obviously had her mind made up, and she wasn't going to beat around the bush, which I thought was strange that she didn't want her to know about it, that she was going to put her up before she put her up. I think that was like an unnecessary kind of like, I don't really want to save the drama or whatever. Stop eating that tag. Anyway, so I don't really know why she did that, but I like that she went for it right away. I know a lot of people are saying, why didn't she just backdoor her? But then there's a chance that, you know, someone that she trusted or herself couldn't win the veto, or someone, you know, that wasn't used. So I think, why not? She's safe, and it is a good move for her and the people that she's working with. So I don't see why.
Yeah. Alex, we haven't got your take on this either. I know Brent and Taryn talked about this in length with Rob on Monday. How did you feel about Netta doing this? Because I'm with Allison. I think this, you know, there's some people saying, oh, well, you know, she shouldn't have done it. It's too soon. She's in the spotlight. But if someone's clearly going after you and you have this safety and you have all this stuff surrounding you, I feel like it's a no-brainer. You have to take the shot at Cass, right?
Yeah, I can't fault Netta for this move. Certainly, I like this move a little, you know, and they talked about it on Monday. I like it a little better for Kevin and Bruno, just because they're sitting in the position where they benefit just as much without having to, you know, take any of the damage from this, any of the backlash of being the ones who, you know, exercise this move. But yeah, I mean, it's hard to argue with it when, you know, you have these instances like Cass apparently saying that, you know, she wants Netta out week one when she doesn't have any power. You know, Cass is notorious for just kind of saying things and then needing to, you know, do work to undo her own words later. And I think that's just the problem, is Cass, you know, her reputation combined with her, you know, overplay and her actions just catch up with her at a point where, you know, how many times can somebody say something and then it gets back to you that they're talking about you and saying something different, and then when they come back to you and pretend they're not? I mean, it's just it's very hard, I think, at this point in the game for people to take Cass at her word. And when your word isn't good in the Big Brother house, there's not much left that you have, especially if you're not someone who can win competitions.
That's yeah.
pretty much what she said in her nomination speech. Can't really decipher what your word is from lies, which is, I'm pretty sure, a line that John used, but for Sabrina, but yes.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I give Jackie credit. You know, I mean, I don't think she's a particularly strong player, but she recognizes what Cass's the cons are to keeping Cass. She's aware enough to notice that, like, okay, this is what Cass represents, these people that they're worried about. So let me be the opposite of that and really just sell that. And so at least she's done that very successfully, I think.
Yeah, I think that that was I really liked that from Jackie. I was impressed that she knew that. I was like, okay, this is good. She didn't freak out too much, like the whole Karen situation where she just lost her mind. I felt so bad for Jackie. She's had a little bit of a rough go, but I think I think now things have settled down a little bit and she's doing okay. We've lost Alex Kidwell though, Allison. This is breaking news. I think he might be having a party at his house. I'm not sure what's going on. I know that Alex likes to do those sorts of things. So we don't know what's happening with Alex. He might not be back for a bit, but just want to let you guys know listening at home, we might have lost Alex for good. Allison, let's talk about the veto competition. What did you think of this?
Oh, weird.
Yeah. Like, what did you think of this comp? Like, I thought this was so weird. Like, it's this fashion show thing. Weird. You know, William wins it, great, but it just seemed so not Big Brother Canada. Like, it was just so boring. Is that the right word for it? Like, what was this?
I don't know. Like, did Trevor get really, like, really blackout drunk and think this was a really good idea? And I don't really know.
Yeah, because it was like, once Cass was out, it was like, okay, this is done. We have nothing to worry about. And you know, at least if it was something entertaining, you know, maybe we'd like it a little bit. But other than Dimitri saying, I carumba, I mean, nothing really made, right? Nothing
really. No, by peasants was my favorite.
Oh, that was true. That was true.
That was amazing.
That was very good. By Peasants was good. And I will say, Kevin hosting that was great with him.
Oh, my God. Fingers.
That was power of veto. That was very good.
Did you see him going with his hat and the hat was like falling off?
Yes, the hat was like falling off. He's like trying to get it. That was very good. But yeah, I don't really know about this comp. I didn't really like it. Alex Kidwell, you're back. Did you like this veto competition?
Yeah, sorry to be cutting out. So when I did that thing at the beginning of the show where I turned around and like tried to put glasses on the back of my head, I somehow knocked out my picture. So I haven't been able to see you guys since the beginning of the show. So I'm just like, I'm flying blind right now. But as long as you can see me and hear me, then I'm rolling with it. I'll just keep talking to a blank screen and pretending I'm looking at you guys. So okay, that's, great. So that's what's going on with me.
This is this perfect time for me to get my bully Alex Kidwell sign up behind
me. Yeah, you could literally hold up any kind of, like, yeah, you could be flipping me off the whole show, and I would literally have no idea.
Yeah, let's see what I got. Do I have a pen down here?
I don't have a pen down here. I've got paper, but no, I'll save that, Alex. But, yeah, talk to me about the veto competition. How did you think about this?
I didn't love it. I thought it was a little ambiguous. At first, I was like, wait, is this the competition or is this like another Oreo dunk off where someone's going for like a advantage in a competition? Because this doesn't feel like a competition. At first, I thought some of the people competing for veto were on the runway. So I'm like, wait, like, is the competition the walk off? Like, I was very troubled by a lot of this. There's a lot of moving pieces. And I think it wasn't until like people started trying to remember stuff. I'm like, okay, I see where this finally went. But, you know, it's probably not my style of competition, but, you know, I could see how it would be oriented to some people, like Big Brother 17, you know, when they finally did a matching clothes competition and Meg's like, oh, maybe when I can win, you know, so you need some variety in there, surely.
I think it's like a variation of the one where, you know, they get like the combinations and colors on the screen and then they had to mix them in the pot and then they have the thing blow up in the
US one. Yes. Yeah.
I think that was
good point.
I like that one.
By, probably, but they wanted
to put their own spin on it. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
For whatever reason.
Yeah. So the competition plays out. William wins the power veto. He's like wavering back and forth. He doesn't know what to do. He's like, maybe I should use it, maybe I shouldn't. And then Cass goes to try to campaign to him and she breaks down and cries. And this goes back to the whole thing that Netta said. It's hard to tell the difference between like the truth and the lies with Cass. Like I didn't see, I've been behind on feeds, so I hadn't actually seen that moment on feeds. So when I was watching it at first, I was like, oh wow, Cass is like, we're getting a real moment from Cass. This is great. I really like this. And then like, nah, this is just crocodile tears. Like, I'm just making this up.
You should have known.
Right? Like, does at first, you know, people used to make comparisons to Cass and Sabrina a lot, that I had heard at least. And I didn't really see that so much last season. I kind of saw like a little bit of it. But this season, just kind of with the whole manipulation thing, Allison, I kind of feel like they're a lot more alike than I used to think. What do you think about that comparison? Is this, because that seemed very Sabrina-esque to me.
I think, okay, so I get the similarities and I get the comparison. She is really manipulative when it comes to like talking to people with her words and things she says. But the thing with Sabrina is that her emotions in the house, okay, crazy cat, get away. The emotions in the house were real. Like when Sabrina was crying or having a breakdown, that was real. That it might have helped her game in some way. It might have manipulated somebody. But when she cried about the slop cookie, when she cried to me about, you know, trusting me and wanting me to come to her house in Montreal because yes, I like sloppy seconds, those were real, like, frustrated emotions. Like, not, she never, now she might have exacerbated them a little more by wanting to manipulate, but I don't think that she ever really tried to cry on purpose. And okay, if that is a complete lie and I'm missing something after 3 years, someone please tell me, because I totally thought that all that was real. Anyway,
the greatest player ever.
Go home to your dog. That's what she said to me. Yeah, Sabrina.
She's good. What can you say? She was good.
She was good. Okay, Alex.
Yeah, no, I think Cass certainly has more skill when it comes to faking the emotions, but I also think, like Sabrina, you get into that like girl who cried wolf territory where it's only effective a few times. If you can bust it out, if you can be like a calm, stable person for the majority of the game, and then only in those moments where your back's against the wall do that, I think it has a lot of, it can possibly, you know, really swing the tide of, you know, the outcome for the week. But when you're pulling that move often, when people begin to associate you with that kind of emotional manipulation, it really just ruins your reputation. And ultimately, that move relies on your ability to gain sympathy. And you can only gain sympathy if people have any degree of desire to want to care for you in the first place.
Yeah.
Alex, did William actually buy into this when she first pitched it to him, or was he able to see through it pretty well?
Hard to know. I mean, I think it's unfortunate. Certainly this episode really, you know, with the DRs and everything, I think it's safe to say that even though I was hoping William would be the secret, you know, French mastermind, I think he's decidedly more French Raoul than anything else, and that's a shame.
See, I disagree. I thought William was really good tonight. I thought that, you know,
but Raoul said that stuff too. Like, I want to make big moves. I'm not just here to, oh, okay, I'm not using the veto, or, you know, like, it's, yeah.
Yeah, I think, I don't know. I don't know. I think William's got more fire in him than Raoul does, at least in terms of the game. And I think
fiery character.
He was, but I think that William, I mean, what did he say, Allison? He said he wanted to slap them all with his veto, like something like that.
He wanted to catch them all that way. He wanted to slap them with his veto and say no, and that each one he slapped would go out of the house, I think that's what he was trying to say.
Yeah, like stuff like that. I think that he's trying, but he, I guess you are right, though, Alex. He is talking a lot. He's talking the talk, but didn't really, like, walk the walk. Like, would it, Allison, go ahead, Alex.
It's tough. I mean, the French connection is in there really without a leg to stand on. I mean, they're two people who want to do something but have no cards to play, really. They're just kind of pieces to be maneuvered by other people given their position in the game right now.
What would have happened? So Gary's told William, hey, don't use the veto. Dre's going to go on the block. Is that what was going to happen, Alex, if William did indeed use the power veto on Cass?
Seems plausible. Yeah, that probably would have happened. I mean, that's certainly the threat that was presented, and that's why he didn't do it.
Wouldn't it have, I mean, I get that William and Dre are in a really, you know, they're tight, they're in this close alliance, but isn't there something to be said, Allison, of maybe, you know, making this big play, using, because right now, like, I feel like William and Dre are still kind of, you know, they're a pair. I think they're still a pair that people want to target anyway. Wouldn't it have been better to at least try to keep Cass in the house? Because that's at least one fat target right in front of you if you're William. And somebody that can rally people. Cass has proven that she can flip things around. Sometimes it doesn't always last. But, you know, we've seen Ika flip-flop back and forth a few times this season just based on some things Cass has said. So what do you think about what William did with his veto, Allison?
Oh, God, that's hard. Because really, he could have done either or. I really think so. Like, he could have taken Cass off, and then Cass would still be there. And I don't know, though.
Yeah, Dre would go up, and Dre would probably go home. Is that safe to say? That's safe to say, Alex? Yeah.
Probably so.
Yeah.
Okay.
I mean, I get him not using it. I do.
Because it's the safe play, but at the same time, it's like...
It's also so... It's still so early, Jordan.
It is early. That's true. It is.
It's very early. And
Fact that they were hustling to try to see if they could flip votes or not. I'm saying they, but it's mostly Dre, I think, was the one that was trying to... She was one of them. That's already put a target on her. Whereas if they kind of just sat back, I think they would have been okay for another couple weeks, honestly. So... I don't know. I'm all messed up with that question.
And I think
I think you did the right thing.
Yeah, I do too. And I think really the biggest deciding factor, like the thing that ultimately to me stands out the most, is that, you know, if you use the veto on somebody, you're doing it to buy loyalty, right? That's the idea. By saving you are indebted to me. We've already, like, if we know Cass, I mean, that's not Cass's MO. Cass has no interest in owing somebody, you know, like she'll forget that tomorrow. And that's good. That's how you should play. But if William's smart or knows anything about Cass's game, and he seems to be a fan, so he should have watched her last season, then you know that the brothers, you know, will use the veto on her, and she'll immediately turn around and do the opposite of what they asked her to do. So I think it's really just, again, another example of how Cass has a reputation coming in of having played a very over the top, deceitful, manipulative game. And then also this season, she really didn't do herself any favors by really kind of doubling down on the same thing early and often.
Guys, let's talk about this whole backwards week thing. We don't really know anything yet, so this is all purely speculation. So probably going to get most of this is probably going to be completely wrong, and I'm excited to listen to this in 24 hours to figure out if we were anywhere close to figuring out what this is. But basically, and I know there are some people who don't watch the episodes. Basically, what happened was Arissa just like came in like right before like the last commercial break and said, "Hey, Canada, guess what? Next week is backwards week in the Big Brother Canada house. Can't wait. See you later. Bye." And that was it. So I was like, what's like a backwards week? Like, what does this mean? We have no idea what's going on. And if, you know, that's not Arissa's fault, but that's just how they are presenting it. Do we have any idea what this is, Allison? I was trying to think about it. I thought maybe this is a way for them to save Cass, because she said in the backwards week thing, she said a whole week of Big Brother is going to be played in reverse. So someone's going to get voted out, and then someone's going to win the veto, and someone's going to get like, that doesn't add up. Does it add up?
I'm very confused. I don't know.
I don't either. It's like, what?
It's stressing me out. I don't really like it. I don't know. Is Cass staying now because of a twist from Big Brother?
Yeah. Like, I don't know. Like, this makes me think of Alex Kidwell. It makes me think of the replay week in Big Brother. The reset. Yeah. Thank you. In Big Brother 16.
Frankie Grande on the giant, like, watering can or whatever. Yeah. Or the teeter totter where they were watering flowers or carrying bulbs. I don't remember what it was.
Yeah, and then Cody Calafiore had to.
It was springtime
in the dino costume. Remember that? He like got out of it, and then he had to go back in it.
There was a button that Caleb was like
hit it. Yeah.
Judy chopped the hell out of it.
It's a shame that Beast Mode Cowboy was never in the chop shop. Alex, what do you think about this backwards week, I don't even know what we're calling it. I'm seeing people in the chat are saying that maybe it's the veto is played first, then the HOH comp, and then something. I don't know.
I think that probably makes the most sense. I mean, I don't think you can like start with the eviction. So I think the eviction is still the end of the week, which, you know, so like, in theory, yeah, I guess the thing that makes the most sense to me is that you play a veto competition and someone's basically like winning safety ahead of time.
Yeah.
And then you play ahead of household competition and then nominations without a replacement or something. I could see that. Or
the thing I will say about that, though, is that this is Big Brother Canada. That doesn't sound twisty enough to me.
No.
Right, Allison? No, there's got to be a catch. There has to be something That's why I think there's a chance Cass is alive. I really do.
I think so too. Well, I did see a tweet from Trevor Boris, right? That said something about like this goes into effect next week. That was in response to someone else that really made me think that this is too late to save Cass.
Okay.
When this comes into effect. That's the way I interpreted it.
Okay. But how?
But like I could also see a situation like maybe they play Vito, someone's safe, then either that person makes initial nominees and then HOH can change one, or maybe like everyone collectively votes for nominees and then HOH can change it. I could see that as well.
I just want to know, like, just tell us what it is. I hate that they're waiting on this, but I get it. But if this doesn't save Cass, though, let's just talk about if on the small chance that it does happen to save Cass, I will take Trevor. You know, Trevor Boris did tweet that out. But if Cass does stay in the house, Alex, this is great for feeds, is it not?
Oh, yeah. Well, it's definitely great for feeds. It's great for entertainment. It's great for some people's games. It's great for most people's games that aren't like Netta, Bruno, and Kevin. I mean, it'd be great for pretty much everyone else. Like, everyone would enjoy it except those people.
It works great except for all my friends.
Exactly.
Except for our friends, yeah.
Yes. What do you think about that, Allison? Do you want this to save Cass, or are you cool with Cass going home? Or do you not want me to put that pressure on you with that kind of question?
No, I'm okay with that pressure. That's fine. Okay. I love me some Cass. I do. But, man, I do not – like, this was Netta's go. If she goes, she needs to go. Like, I don't want her to come back and then screw those three people who are the three top, like, people really that I'm – well, plus Ica, that I'm, like, rooting for. Right? So it's just, good like – stressful. So
great save.
Never leave out Ica. I'm okay with Cass going home. As much as I love Cass, I love watching Cass, and I was rooting for Cass. I'm sad that she is most likely going, but it is a must. It has to happen.
The other thing about it too is just that, you know, even if Cass were to stay, I mean, how much damage can she really do anymore? I mean, she really has shown all her cards and then some. I mean, she's, you know, cried the fake tears. She's, you know, had fights. She's, you know, she put in, you know, her big mistake was putting in so much of that kind of capital trying to save Dallas. Because once she did that, it didn't leave her a lot of options. Like, she's already escalated it up to a point. And then when you need to save yourself now, you've already limited your options by beginning to turn people's, you know, feelings against you already with the way you pushed for Dallas. So, you know, it's the compounding of everything. Week one, she's pushing so hard for Dimitri and ultimately gets what she wants there. But, you know, people see that. People see how hard you're pushing so early on every week. Cass is trying to get her way. That just can't last.
But don't forget that, like, last year, she started off as a dumpster fire too. And then all of a sudden made it pretty much to the end. So I wouldn't put it past her. If she managed to stay somehow, I wouldn't put it past her that she could pull something out of her ass, because we all have something up our asses.
That is true. Not some of us more than others. Yes.
At least in that house.
Yeah. Yeah, sometimes a veto, sometimes coat hangers. There's some other things.
Yeah.
God, I love Bobby Halad. Good dude.
Good man.
All right. Let's get into some of your questions, guys. If you want to send those in to us, use hashtag #RehappyHour. We'll take a couple of those, and I guess we'll get into live feeds, but there isn't really much to update you on. So just stick around. Let's see, which one do we want to take? I'm buying some time here. This one is from Kathleen D. Kathleen says, do you think keeping Emily and Dylan around as a whole is in Netta's best interest, or is it better to axe one? What do you think about that, Allison? You think it's because right now there's this new alliance that has formed, I guess. And you know what? Screw it. Let's just go to live feeds, Alex Kidwell.
Let's do that.
We're going to just talk about live feeds so that we don't have to worry about spoiling anything. So if you don't want to, like, the tiniest of spoilers, then I would say maybe say goodbye now. But again, just stick around. We're going to talk about anything that we didn't see on the show, which is not really much. All right. Before we move forward, we're just going to take a quick break, and we'll be back right after this.
The Office of Civil Defense has issued the following message. This is
a spoiler
warning.
A spoiler
warning means that an actual
spoiler
against this country has been detected and that protective action should be taken.
So we'll talk about this question here. So I'll throw it back to you, Allison. So the idea of Emily and Dylan keeping them both, is that good for Netta's game or is that bad for Netta's game? But she has made an alliance with them. Have you seen this?
Is this the Black and Saints thing?
The Black and Saints. I can't believe that's an alliance, but it is.
I don't think that was a good idea. But anyway.
So talk to me. Well, let's talk about that first.
That's not my decision.
Why don't you think that was a good idea?
Well, just to use her brand as the name of an alliance that could so badly fail. Like that is a huge why? I feel like that was very mindless.
Any publicity.
Hey, it is good publicity, but if it's an awful alliance and like only lasts a week maybe it won't even make the episode tomorrow. Who knows? But
I honestly wouldn't be shocked if it didn't make the episodes. Is it even like, is this in a legit alliance, Alex, or no?
Yeah, well, it is because, you know, Netta, Bruno, Kevin, Emily and Dylan, that's what it is. And Netta, Bruno and Kevin really just have the luxury of cultivating tons of options right now. They're sitting so pretty that, you know, Kevin and Bruno have really no enemies with Cass going. Everyone is already seemingly playing next week. You know, like Cass, there's been some rumblings to keep Cass, but the votes just don't seem to be coming together because the side of the house that would have to materialize for that to happen just are people that can't trust each other, can't get on the same page, just don't have the game ability to really rally those votes and make those numbers stick. So it seems almost certain that Cass is going to go. And because of that, people are really already kind of thinking about next week. They're on to next week in a lot of ways. And so, yeah, you've got people like Netta, Kevin, and Bruno really cultivating other options. Bruno's really been getting closer to Emily. Bruno and Kevin have both been trying to pull in Jackie a bit. Netta has been, you know, talking to Dylan and Emily. Gary's even been getting closer to Dylan the last couple of days.
Ooh, he's getting close to Dylan. He's getting
close. Okay.
All right. Don't believe everything you read on Reddit, Jordan.
I saw footage.
Okay, I don't know that you saw what you thought you saw. Anyways, we'll leave it there. You know, it's just it's the time in the game to do that, you know, because until there's a new HOH, it's just a bit of downtime for people to make those moves, and the players that are really on top of this game are doing so. And yeah, Emily and Dylan are pieces to be picked up. So yeah, I mean, the Black and Saints, it's the closest Netta could get to, you know, she always told us she wanted an alliance called the Nettas.
The Nettas.
This is basically that. I mean, you're one step away.
The Nettas.
Yeah, I love that idea.
Fair enough. Like, that's true.
If you watch The Walking Dead, like there's a main antagonist named Negan, and he makes everyone else go by Negan so that if you like kill somebody and you think you got Negan, you didn't actually get Negan. So that's what the Nettas reminds me of, where like Dylan can be Netta and Emily can be Netta and we're all Netta. And one of these Nettas is going to take this thing.
Good point.
Oh man. So you think it's good for Netta in particular. It's good to keep them both around. They're in an alliance together. How do Dylan and Emily feel about Netta? They're totally just like, oh great, we're in the Black and Saints. Like how do they feel about this, Alex?
Yeah, well, I think that's the benefit of, like, not only are these two players new, but they were both on the block together last week. Like, they were both feeling the heat, right? And so there's a lot of value in being, like, that first person that extends rope to that person who was really feeling pressure. And Netta got in there pretty early. Like, it became very clear that it was going to be Dallas. And so she started doing work last week to pull these guys in. And luckily, I mean, they seem like they're pretty loyal players. I mean, everything we've gotten from Dylan and from Emily is like, you know, my word is good, you know, them and Jackie and Karen to a degree. And I think really Dre and William. And I think that speaks to why Cass really can't get much going right now to turn things around, is because a lot of these people are looking for loyalty and people whose word is good. And when you're hearing all these different things and it all seems to come back to one person, it makes it very hard to want to work with them. So, you know, Netta's done a good job, I think, pulling in two people who felt like they didn't have anyone. Now they feel like they can trust Netta. They can trust Bruno especially. And they seem to be loyal people. So, yeah, I mean, numbers. This is what you want at this point, is to feel like you have solid numbers, because, you know, it could, in not too long, I mean, who knows? Like Gary, somebody, some big player could win HOH soon and want to take that shot. And you're going to need people to want to keep you if that happens.
Totally.
Talk to me, Alex, about any, has there been anything else crazy that's been going down on feeds that we need to know about that hasn't been shown on the show yet at this point?
Yeah. So, I mean, really just the, you know, the idea that for the most part, it seems like people are playing for next week because Cass is gone, but there has been rumblings to try to keep her. Dre and Gary seem to be the two who are, have been at least at times most into the idea of keeping her. At times, Karen has considered it too, despite the fact that Cass and Karen really don't get along very well from what I've seen. But Karen recognizes that maybe keeping Cass is in her best interest because they're, it's not too hard to see that there is this solid group there with, you know, Netta, Kevin, Bruno, Cindy, and then Ike and Dimitri are kind of seen as a pair. And if they're with them, then that's kind of a majority. So now's the time that you need to act if you're worried about that six, which is a legitimate threat to everyone who's not in it. The problem being, like, all these people really just don't trust each other. And what ultimately is happening is they're not rallying the votes. They're ending up, you know, starting to get there and falling apart. And it's all just getting back to Netta via Karen or via Ika or someone else, that Dre and Gary especially are the two who are really trying to do this. So they both are in a lot of trouble, I think, for next week, especially Gary, because this is someone that Netta already sees as a, you know, a physical threat in addition to kind of the work he's trying to put in to flip the vote this week.
Oh, wow. Okay, so I didn't realize Gary was in this much trouble, Allison. Do you think Gary's going to be able to work his way around this? Because he seemed to be doing pretty good with the social game leading up to this point.
Yeah, I think he'll be able to make his way around it. I think he'll probably be able to put more of the heat on Dre if it comes to that. Gary's very good at just – I don't even know what to call it. He's just Gary.
Yeah.
So I think he's gonna be okay. I am worried for Dre though. I really, really am.
I think
pushed a little too hard.
Most of the conversations that have been had, I mean, Netta is trying to get everyone on the same page about, you know, Dre and William on the block next week. Kevin has said he won't put up William because Kevin is really trying to rope William in as a number for him. Yeah. So it's agreed that, like, if Kevin were to win, it would be Dre and Karen, since Karen has picked a fight with Kevin for no reason.
So he wasn't, like, genuine or something?
Karen's a crazy person.
Yeah. So I watched this, I quote tweeted this. There's a clip of it on Twitter. Basically, yeah, Kevin was just asking Karen questions about herself. And then all of a sudden she was like, yeah, you know, I don't really like you, Kevin. You're like, you know, you're just not genuine. That's just what I've got from you. Like, you're just not a genuine person. Like, I just don't
Wasn't she comparing him to, like, her son or somebody named Steven? I don't know who it was.
I had to turn it off.
Like, he seems good, but, you know, but Kevin's, like, he's genuine, but Kevin's not. Yeah, sorry, it's just how I see it. And Kevin was just like, what?
Yeah, it was just so, I mean, it was just like 48 hours almost of Cass and Karen just going at Kevin. Part of it was Kevin's fault because he kept talking to them. But still, they just kept going at him with all this stuff. And there was, I know Peely Niemer was texting me and she was like, oh my God, why are they saying this to Kevin? Oh, and she was getting so mad. But, and I was like, yeah, this sucks. Kevin should just not talk to them. It was definitely frustrating. And that, if you know Kevin personally, or if you're a Kevin fan, we actually had one question about this. This one's from Troy Steinmetz. Troy says, how much of Kevin's introvert/awkwardness seems real versus game? Were Cass and Karen's comments too much? So what do you think about that, Allison? Do you think Kevin is, based on your interactions with Kevin, do you think that's game, or do you think that's just Kevin being Kevin?
Honestly, so I haven't had a lot of interactions with Kevin, but the ones that I have had, I think that was genuine Kevin. Because I think that, like, he's such a sweet guy, and he just, like, really wants to know answers to things. So I don't think that he was, like, playing game and, like, egging them on, per se. He might have been, I don't know. But I really honestly think that he just really wanted to understand why they thought that. And maybe he was getting a little paranoid. Oh, my God. Am I awkward? Am I not genuine? How can I be more genuine? What's happening? He was getting inside of his head and wanted to know more answers instead of disengaging and being like, okay, fuck y'all. Or sorry. I mean, you know. Just like, I'm going to disengage from this conversation and go and, like, you know, do whatever. But, yeah, sorry for that.
Oh, that's okay. Don't worry. That's fine. One or two, it doesn't
put a dollar in the jar.
Yeah. Yes.
But yeah, so I honestly, in my opinion, I think that that was him being genuine. But yeah. You would know better than I would.
Yeah, I would say that is him being genuine. That is Kevin. I think Kevin will tell you he's a bit awkward. He's an awkward guy, and
he's so delightfully awkward too.
Yes, he's so nice, and he's trying to just, you know, I think he's just trying to fit in and just get to know people. And I think for her, for whatever reason, she just can't, well, Karen just doesn't take anything. She's just like, no, like you're this, you're that, or this is why you lost. Blah blah blah. Like that's just Karen's personality. So I felt bad. Yeah, poor Kevin. I felt bad for him. But at the same time, I mean, some people brought up this point on Twitter, and I do think it's fair. Kevin, just stay away. Like, just don't talk to them if they're doing that to you, man, because that's just not good. That's not going to help you. If Karen's going to be like – Karen's going to Karen. We say Gary's going to Gary. Karen's going to Karen. Just let her do her thing and, you know, don't worry about it. But I do get where he's coming from. And, yeah, that's not game. And I think that was the problem with Kevin his first go-around is people thought, oh, Kevin's not genuine. He's up to something. He's like, it's because he's crafty and we can't trust him. No, it's just that he's awkward.
I sympathize with Kevin. He's you know, I'm someone else who's frequently misunderstood and blamed for things.
You are, Alex, and that's why.
Man,
I
this really,
so much.
This really, you know, gets me. I feel for you, buddy. I'm here for Kevin. Solidarity.
The difference between you and Kevin, though, is I don't throw Kevin under the bus nearly as much as I throw you under the
bus. What are you talking about? You were literally – you would go in the diary room every time and do the sign that wasn't with him. You threw him under the bus so hard.
That's true. That's true.
Kevin's going in every time. Fortress, baby. And Jordan's like, Newport.
Right? I know. So frustrating. I can't. We won't go there. I heard that you would rather Willow than Jordan. I heard that. The other week.
It's host. Yeah, Alex would rather Willow host this podcast, right? Alex, that was you and Taryn said that.
I didn't say that.
Oh,
I should have said
Taryn
that, given the way Jordan treats me on this show. No, I'm just kidding.
I just assumed it was you, since you know you have such a hate-love-hate relationship.
Yeah. I love him. He hates me. That's right. Really
Come on. You know I love you. We bonded in New York. It was good. No, you can't see this, Alex, but I have a sign behind me right here. It says, I love Alex Kidwell. You can't see it because
it's beautiful.
You hired a skywriter to draw.
I did. Yeah, I did. I actually he's gonna be outside your house. You're just outside, you're in Los Angeles, right?
It.
So
it's happening right now.
Yeah, it'll be about 8:30. It's gonna be outside your house. Just look outside, it'll be there. All right, let's take another question. This one is from Amon Adwin, friend of the show. Amon,
yeah.
He says, what's
Team
up,
Kidwell.
Amon? Yeah, what's up? That's right. He was Team Kidwell.
Great.
So Amon asks, this game has been a revolving Mexican standoff so far. What will it take to get these house guests to draw lines in the sand? Let's just talk about like this six, because I feel like until this six fractures – there's not really, and correct me if I'm wrong, Alex, I feel like it's just going to be this six hanging out and everybody else over here, and the six is just going to slowly take these other people out one by one as the game goes on. Am I correct in that?
Maybe. Really, the key, I think, with the six and how long it holds is going to be the third of it that is D'Amica, if you will.
D'Amica.
Whatever you like.
D'Amica's.
The D'Amicas, yeah, right. Because already Aika has considered the possibility of if keeping Cass is best for her game. And really, those are the two. I mean, to get a 6-5 majority to save Cass, not only would they need, you know, that whole newbie contingent and Gary, but they would have to have Aika and Dimitri's votes as well, which is why it seems so unlikely. But Aika and Dimitri, at least Aika, seems to think, and she's not necessarily wrong, that she's in a good like middle position right now, and she wants to maintain that as long as she can. The problem being, if she were to swing, I think it's very easy, and they've talked about this, to see how the two of them could just be replaced in the six by Emily and Dylan. So in a lot of ways, Netta, Kevin, and Bruno keep Dimitri's and Aika on a leash by having Emily and Dylan close and keeping that pair loyal, because as long as they're there as an option, then Aika and Dimitri's are expendable to a degree.
Yeah, they were talking about that on feeds today, actually, D'Amica. Yeah. Gee whiz. Dimitri and Aika. And talking about if they did flip to keep Cass, how they would just be replaced with Emily and Dylan.
Which is it's very aware, like it's very solid observation to note. Because, you know, after last week, you wouldn't think Emily and Dylan have those relationships built. But, you know, Demetrius is pretty smart and Aika is definitely paying attention and they're aware, you know, of the fact that Neta, Kevin and Bruno, they definitely have options. And if they were to flip on them like that, it would only make sense for them to do that. And that's really the thing hurting Cass more than anything right now.
Mm-hmm. Allison, how do you feel about Aika's game so far? You also played with her on BB Can 2 compared to the last time. How do you feel like she's doing this go round?
So much better. I think she's doing a lot better. Yeah, I'm really proud of her. You know, I only got to play, 2 weeks with her, and that was strange, and she was terrifying, and she was terrifying for a while after that, so until I got to know her a little better. I'm so proud of her. She's doing a lot better, like, socially. She's not blowing up like she kind of was in our season. And, I mean, well, she did once, with Cindy in the beginning, but... Right. But she's holding herself to, and I think, you know what, as weird as it is, I think Gary is helping her with that, because she gets to bicker with Gary and they yell at each other a lot, but it's always like fun and not like really bad for game. That's just like the way they are. So I think that kind of gets out some of her negative energy, and she's just doing a good job. As long as the Dimitri thing could cause a bit of a target coming up, as somebody, and you would understand as well, being part of a showmance, it's not always a good thing. And I don't think it will be a good thing for her, though he would be a good meat shield.
Well, so Jordan got that's what he is. Not so much because of the showmance, but more by the showmance.
Thank you for reminding us, Alex. Yes, yes, definitely a little different. Yeah. A little different.
Well, whenever I was
targeted for my showmance with Zach. That was a showmance.
That's
right?
Right.
Totally. That's what I meant.
Pretty much the same thing. Yeah, same thing. Meet Zach. Yeah, I think they called us Jack. That's what Sarah Hanlon was calling us Jack.
Were they calling you that in the house?
In the house, yeah. I don't think anybody else called us that showman's name, but yeah.
Man, I watched your feeds. I don't remember that at all. That must have been for like a day.
Probably. It was very brief, very brief. So you do not ship DeMica's, Allison? You don't ship it, or you do?
I mean, I do. It's adorable, a little bit. I love seeing her icy heart be like just pawed at by Dimitri's. Like, let me in. It's so cute. And I think as much as hard and devoted she is to that, I'm not going to be in a showman's like thought process. I think that she's going to give in eventually. They're already holding hands and like. Kind of low-key cuddling and hugging at times, so I think she screwed there.
It's interesting. I think in some ways Aika is the personality type where the showmance might actually be like, you could see how there's maybe as many pros as cons, because obviously there's all the conventional, you know, downsides that come with being seen as a couple or a part of a showmance, but she is playing the game really hard, and mm-hmm. having Dimitri's in there is like an escape in a way, and it gives her time where she's not talking about the game, where she's low-key, where people kind of can forget about her. And I think that's important, especially going forward with less and less people in the house, because while her position right now I think is really, really strong, she's right in the middle. Nobody really is planning. I don't think there's anyone who would put her on the block next week, which is exactly where you want to be. It's like the key Andy Heron position. It's what you want every week if you can have it. But you don't necessarily, you want it more at the end of the game than at the beginning of the game. And the problem is, a lot of times when you find yourself in that spot early, you can't help but you can't possibly maintain it for too long. And Aika is kind of the person who is giving key information to a lot of people. Like, Dre gets a lot of her information from Aika. Gary gets a lot of his information from Aika. Then conversely, Neta gets a lot of her information about Gary and Dre from Aika as well. So it's a very risky game to be playing this early. I could very easily see how it blows up in her face. But for right now, she's doing a good job. She's maintaining for sure.
I agree.
Alex Kidwell, I have a very important question for you. So I have this friend. She is looking to date someone, but she wants to know, do you read stripper books?
Are those real? Is that a thing? What is that, like those romance novels where people are like...
I don't know what I was thinking with that. Yeah, she's... What's your favorite book? She's like, I'm not talking about stripper books.
I do see those romance novels in like CVS, and they always have titles like, you know, Gently Goes the Heart or something crazy like that. I don't know.
Like with like the Fabio on the front?
Yes. 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 Yes.
Yeah. Yeah, not,
But that's not really a stripper book.
What's your favorite book? Not comic book or stripper book. Like, what?
Did Ica mean like porn? Is that like Playboy? Yeah. Like, is that a stripper book?
Which also doesn't have
strippers in it anymore. Yeah. No, it doesn't. So it's like, so, I don't know.
Someone like your grandmother would say if she's trying to like, you know, be up to date on like terms of this stuff. Like, oh, I know what you kids are looking at. You're looking at the stripper books again. Okay, grandma.
Grandma Ica. Yeah, I don't
in
know.
My day, those only showed ankle.
If I get a chance to speak to Ica post show, that is probably the first question I'm going to ask her is, good. Ica, what's a stripper book? Because I want to know. What is a stripper book, and can I buy these? Is this a thing?
Dimitri, he used to work at the club, right? So maybe it's like a pamphlet with like him in it. He's got like
I like to read books in my spare time.
Okay. I could see that.
It's like the feature for the Saturday night. Yeah. I don't know.
Yeah.
Who knew? Stage, Dimitri.
So funny.
Who knew Dimitri worked at a strip club too? That was interesting. Let's take another question. This one is from Jordan Chapman. Jordan says, what do you guys think of Cindy's game so far? This is something that I've been asked a lot. I think she's doing a really great job. Allison, what do you think?
I had to agree with you, and I never really thought that I would say it. I have never really been a big fan of Cindy game, but this game is different than a Cindy game. I like the fact that we've been hashtagging Cindy sighting.
Yes, like, right. It's a huge thing for her game. When's the last time we had a Cindy DR? Like, I honestly can't remember.
I actually don't know.
I don't know either.
Who is it that keeps track of those? There's somebody that tweets those out.
I don't know.
Whoever you are, tweet it at me.
Please let us know. Yeah, because it's so low compared to last time. And I think there really is that correlation. Last time she had way more DRs than everyone, and her game just went to hell pretty quickly. But this time they're super low, and she's laying low. She's playing a great game. I think I said this a couple weeks ago. I think – Allison, Cindy is going to win this season.
Oh my God. Cindy's
Cindy's going to win this season. I think it's going to have Alex Kidwell. Am I crazy? I think she's going to win. Who is looking at Cindy as a target? She's somebody who can win competitions. She's somebody who can win a fan vote if need be. I think Cindy's in a great position.
You're right. I mean, nobody's looking at Cindy right now. She's playing really well right now. I totally agree with everything you're saying. But I still think you're a little crazy to call her for a winner pick. Crazy. And here's why. Here's to me, like, the fundamental thing that I think is the reason we're seeing so much difference from Cindy this year. If you look at the way Cindy entered the house last year, she was put on the block the first night. I mean, she literally felt my back's against the wall. I have to fight from day one. And every week she was on the block, she's fighting or she's winning. You know what I mean? Like, that creates a certain mindset where you think you just have to play super hard. Cindy hasn't faced any adversity yet this season. She won week one and was able to convince Karen very easily to do exactly what she wanted. And then everything else has been really smooth sailing. So I love what I'm seeing. Absolutely. But you don't go through the entire Big Brother season without facing adversity at least once. Someone is going to target her one time at some point for some reason.
But at the same time, who is? She's on an island. She's got no pair.
Once we get to six, Jordan, once we get to five, I mean, at some point, I think we're going to see Cindy revert to desperation mode, like back against the wall Cindy, which I think is like, in general, someone who overplays the game. Well, we'll see. I could be wrong. Maybe she's matured.
Maybe she's matured to the end.
Yeah, she's going to go deep because she's by herself, right? She's not in a pair. Yeah. She's not Netta. Kevin and Bruno are seen as a pair. It's all these pairs in this season. And Cindy's by herself. And Cindy's friends with all these people. Like,
as long as nobody turns on her or targets her or like she doesn't see anyone betraying her, I could certainly – like there's no reason for her to do anything different. And what we're seeing right now, we definitely like. So I'm with you there.
I think Cindy's doing a great job. I think I'm very, very impressed with her game so far. Let's take maybe one or two more. I'm trying to think here. Okay. I don't know if you want to answer this, Allison, but I'll throw this to you. A little bit of a tough question. This one is from, it's two part. You'll like half of it. Maybe not the second half you won't like as much. This one is from @CCHyperbole. Hi, Allison. You're beautiful. Out of all of the returnees, who has been the most disappointing to watch?
Okay.
I wonder which half she was supposed to like.
Thank you.
No, the first half, of course, but the second, that's not really, I know, you know a lot of these people, so it's kind of a hard question, but
yeah.
What do you
think? Out of all of the returnees, who is the most disappointing to watch? Yeah.
Yes.
To watch.
That was the question. Disappointing to watch. Yes.
Right. So I could spin that.
You could spin that however you want.
Disappointing to watch.
I'll jump in. I'm going to just say Dallas because I want it to last a lot longer. So I'm stealing a good one from you.
How can you say Dallas? He banged pots and pans and woke people up. He can't be the most disappointing to watch.
Yeah, I get. Okay, fine. That's fine.
I had to agree though because like it's.
It's because he didn't. We wanted more from him.
Yeah.
Probably, yeah.
And I think.
I mean, I like from a game perspective what Kevin and Bruno are doing, but they're wallpaper.
That's true. That's true. Yeah. If we're talking TV, I will say Kevin has been way more. Kevin's been way more boring this time. Like,
he's. You see that screenshot of people talking on the couches, and he's literally in the background just sitting Indian style with like a shirt over his face, and he's just like, you barely even notice him. He really has just blended into the. Odyssey here.
So yeah, that's great for his game.
Part of the ship.
Yeah.
But yeah, in terms of entertainment, yeah, not so great. And I would say Bruno, same thing. Bruno, awesome. I just love watching Bruno. Like just even that clip tonight where he's comforting Netta. I'm like, man, shades of Dan Gieseling. I'm seeing it. I love it. Like I love Bruno. But yeah, his game's boring. Like if you want to see an entertaining player, Bruno's not going to entertain you, but he's going to play a damn good game, and that's what he's doing. He's doing a really good job.
To fans who are fans of the game.
That's not disappointing. Yes.
Yeah, that's entertaining. So for me, to answer the question, I guess. So it's between Dallas or Cass, and I think it's because I don't think they've had enough time away from the game to really sit back and reflect and change what they wanted to do. Yeah. So Dallas went in there, and he even said it when he came out, I played even harder and faster than I did the first time, which was obviously the bad thing to do. And I am disappointed in that because I was hoping that the two of them, at least, would change more than what they had.
Right.
Is that an okay answer?
I think that makes sense. And I think that, yeah, that's accurate. I think that both of them, I think people had really high expectations for them, but I think we learned something this season. I think we've learned something the past couple of Big Brother seasons. You look at US and you look at Canada. It's really, really hard to completely like to go back and play again after having like less than a year off. I think you need at least a couple. Well, just in general, it's hard to go back and play again. I mean, totally. If you look at Big Brother 18, how that played out for some people. But for Dallas and Cass, I think having that time off and to gain that perspective on how the game went and how they would have changed things. Because I know for me, like I still could go back and would still probably not do very well. But I think if I went back like last year, I know I would do a lot worse than I would do if I were to go back this year or, you know, a few years down the road, just because I feel like the more time off you have, you mature more as a person. You kind of understand where things went wrong. Would you agree with that, Allison?
Yeah. The more perspective you get and the more you can really understand kind of the whole process.
Yeah. So, yeah, totally.
Like, remove yourself from the situation is the only way you get perspective. Like that's when you get the perspective of the viewer, of the fan, everything back, because it takes a while to get back there. So yeah.
Definitely think time is key. Like time's definitely a critical factor, but I also, and I hate that I'm about to give this guy credit right now, but I also love, like, if you had to go back the very next year, you have to take the Frankie Grande approach and just hire a life coach if you can do it, because that's a way to actually like that's really the only way.
Wait, he had a life coach before
he had a life coach for months before that show. Yeah, he like had somebody teaching him how to be optimal Frankie in a social environment. Like that to me is like how you train for this. Really?
Was that before BBUK or
no? Before BB16.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
Wow. Really? Wow.
Yeah. He took it real serious. Like I like that. To me, it's like, you know, the same thing as like studying up on court cases before you take a bar exam. Like that's awesome. If you obviously you need to be able to afford a personal life coach.
That's
which,
what I'm saying. Who wants a bit of a reach, but, life coach?
Yeah. I mean, I think that, you know, that's a really, you know, because that's someone who can actively like develop a relationship with you and get to know you and then be like call you on your stuff. You know what I mean? When you're talking about your day, and they'll be like, you know, why'd you do that? And what did you feel about that? And it really does make you think about stuff in a different way. So that if you only have a year, that's the way to go. But like you said, yeah, ideally you have some time to reflect.
Jordan, do you think that Alec was enough of a life coach for Netta? I know that they talked about they talked about some strategy before she went in. She was bouncing off all of her spreadsheets and stuff. What do you think? How do you think Alec did there?
Well, Alec Beal does have his PhD, so there's that.
Well, that's what I'm saying.
Qualified BB life coach.
Yeah, I guess that means
you should open a practice.
Here's what I will say. I think Alec is more qualified than some psychologists I know, so I will give him that. Yes. But I love Alec to death. I don't know if I want Alec to be my life coach. I feel like I have to be Alec Beal's life coach sometimes. So I don't know if I would want him to be my life coach. But
like that time he drank your contact lenses.
Yeah, like the time he drank my contact lenses, like that.
Yeah,
that was great. I love Alec.
I know about this.
Know why I remember that.
Last summer, BB Can 4 people were in Vancouver and they were doing like their tour around, like, you know,
right,
across Canada. And they did a nightclub appearance and it was Raul, Kelsey, and the Pax Bros. And so a bunch of the Vancouver Big Brother Canada alumni went. We went. Alec and I both got super drunk. And then I was vomiting in the club. It was bad. I got kicked out. We had to leave. And then we were back at Alec's place. Alec let me sleep over at his house, and then I went to bed, but I didn't have my contact lenses. So my contact case. So I had to take my lenses out, put them in a cup of water, put them on his counter. I was like, right, I'm gonna leave these here. And then I woke up the next morning, it was gone and he drank them. So
it's the best.
Yeah. So he's got 20/20 vision. 20/20 vision in his stomach now. That was the joke we had for a few weeks.
That's good.
He's growing an AccuView tree in his stomach.
Hey, that could make him some money if he could extract those contacts. Contacts are expensive. All right, guys. I think that's going to do it. That's going to do it for this edition of the Rahappy Hour. Any final thoughts, Alex Kidwell?
It's been an interesting season. Like, I don't think necessarily a lot of people are playing really strongly, but a few people are playing really strongly and a lot of people are very reactionary. So it's been really interesting feeds, and I got to give the editors credit, 'cause I think tonight did a pretty good job. Like, there's been a lot of criticism, like last week, especially about how the feeds or the show didn't accurately reflect all the chaos that's been going on the feeds. And I think tonight, even though we haven't gotten everything in terms of, like, they didn't talk about the Black and Saints, or they didn't talk about, you know, Bruno making, you know, alliances with Emily and Dylan, or Gary kind of getting in with people, we did get, I think, a better picture of the house. Like, we got a better understanding of exactly what's going on. We got Cassandra in the diary room thinking she's in control, and very clearly, like, throughout the course of the show, we learn in the house that that's not the case. So I appreciate the edit tonight. I just want to say that, because I'm not always appreciative of it.
All right. Allison, any final thoughts? And can you give us your winner pick this season? Is it Cindy?
Oh, God. What? I didn't even think about this. No, it's not Cindy. But that I do believe she will make it far, close to the end. I don't have a winner's pick. I want to say Netta, because I'm Team Netta, but I don't know.
Team Netta. It's okay. You're Team Netta.
You know what? Bruno's such a big target, too, but I am so rooting for Bruno. It's not even real.
Bruno's great. Big Bruno fan.
I'm a huge Bruno fan. I can't answer your question right now.
Okay. Wow. There we go. Alex, she didn't answer our question. She answered who's the most disappointing, but can't answer who the winner is.
Amazing. No, I'm not disappointed in my heart, just to backtrack for a second. I love Dally and I love Cass, but.
Way to qualify.
You know.
All right. That's okay. We'll give you a pass. We'll give you a pass. You want Netta to win. You want Netta to win. All right. Yeah. There we go. We got our answer. Netta is Allison's winner pick.
Strong choice.
Okay. So we're going to need a hashtag, guys. I was thinking hashtag for this episode, hashtag stripper books. You guys on board?
Yes.
That's fun.
Okay. So if you're listening to this, thank you. We appreciate you. Those of you who watch with us live, really means a lot. Tweet us, and use the hashtag, to let us know you made it all the way to the end. You can follow Allison on Twitter. Allison, does your cat have Twitter or no? Does Mac have a Twitter? No,
not yet.
He doesn't
have one yet. He's like, let me go. Who are these people on the screen? Cause I don't know. Hi. Yes. Hello.
So you can follow Allison on Twitter. She's at Allie Dub. You can follow Alex on Twitter as well. He's at Alex Kidwell. You can follow me as well. I am at Jordan Parhar. And we will be back live again tomorrow after the eviction. Hopefully we'll be able to figure out what exactly backwards week means. We can talk about if Cass went home, we're assuming, or whatever happened to potentially save her. Should be a fun show. My good friend Johnny Colatrulio from Big Brother Canada 3 will be on the line. Love me some Johnny.
I can't wait to hear his thoughts on Kevin this season.
Yeah, I'm very excited. Yeah, Johnny's got a lot to say on Kevin. He's from
Damn it, Kevin. Where was this Kevin?
Same with Cass, because he's from Winnipeg. So Johnny's got a lot of thoughts. He actually reached out to me and said, hey, let's do the podcast. I was like, yeah, of course. So Johnny is going to come on. Taryn Armstrong will be back as well. Melissa Denny is traveling. So it'll be me, Taryn, and Johnny tomorrow. So should be a fun show. If you want to subscribe to the Rehappy Hour, you can go to robinswebsite.com/Rehappy Hour to make sure you never miss an episode. Alex, am I missing anything? Are we good?
Don't forget to ask Johnny about his take on Kevin's outfit during that veto competition. I really, really am very, very interested on that.
That was great.
It was Brent-esque, that black veil.
It really was. It was good.
Also, I think, okay, so Christina from Twitter, Stina Nitz,
right? Yeah.
Yeah, big fan. Love her. I think she tweeted out something about Cass saying something about Brent.
Yes, no. Yeah, Cass did shout out Brent. She
okay,
does
yeah,
like Brent.
So make sure you let
Kevin
know
likes
that.
Me and Taryn.
Yeah. No, Brent knows. Brent knows.
Okay.
Yeah, lots of Brent love. Cass shouted him out. Like, Brent's gotten more shout outs this season than I have. I'm very impressed. Brent, welcome out. Well done.
Well, Cass did do one podcast, and it was me, Brent, and Rob. And I do wonder if she thinks, like, if I really shout out Brent, like, this is the ticket to me getting back on the podcast really quickly because she knows she's not going to be in the house that much longer.
She'll be on the podcast.
Oh, yeah.
Happy to have her. That's the one positive of Cass going home is we get her back on the podcast and back on Twitter. All right, guys, that's going to do it for this edition of the Rehappy Hour. We will see you tomorrow for Alex Kidwell and Allison White. I'm Jordan Parhar. Hashtag stripper books. We'll talk to you soon. Take care. Peace out. The theme song of the Reality TV Rehappy Hour is written and performed by Ryan Elder. Check out more of his work at ryanelder.music.com.